Hello out there to all you people on the go and multitaskers everywhere. This is Homeschool Mom Movie Maven, and this review is on Godzilla. What's my short take? If you are a fan of Godzilla, then you will love this contribution to the now 65-year-old franchise. Who I think should go at younger teens for frightening and extensively violent images of citywide destruction, human peril, and cataclysmic fight scenes with other monsters. There is also some language, including one F-word and blasphemy. And while there is no sexuality shown, there are a small handful of sexual innuendos spoken, which will probably go over the head of most younger teens. There is also a confusing mishmash of paganism and Christian religious symbols and references, which could confuse a spiritually immature child. In 1954, Godzilla inexplicably and emphatically became a cult hit. A rubber-suited man emitting a now iconic shriek, created by Akira Ifukube, rubbing a resin-coated leather glove across the strings of a double bass, wreaks havoc, clumping awkwardly as he laser-breathes his way through towns and countrysides behind fleeing crowds of mostly Japanese victims. 35 films later, all but three made by Toho, a Japanese-based film company, the franchise is still going strong. The latest, Godzilla King of the Monsters, is a loose sequel to the 2014 Hollywood film which firmly established Godzilla to mainstream American audiences as a good guy, ally to humanity. In point of fact, some Japanese philosophies even see Godzilla as an indifferent little g god of destruction and a cycle of death and rebirth. At one point, a scientist, upon seeing the monster in full, interjects the name of the Lord, to which Rick Stanton, played by Bradley Whitford from Get Out, Saving Mr. Banks, and Cabin in the Woods, punnily follows up with Zilla. In fact, the name Godzilla was never meant to refer to our creator. It was actually a Europeanized mispronunciation of the Japanese Gojira, which in turn refers to an animal which is akin to both a whale and a gorilla. Spoilers, but I mean, come on, this is Godzilla and there's not that much plot to spoil. In this outing, Godzilla is a bit of both ally and destructo machine as he tromps over the earth with 16 other titans. The human-based subplot, which is supposed to keep us grounded to the big critters, involves scientists Mark and Emma Russell, played by, respectively, Kyle Chandler from Game Night, Argo, King Kong, and Vera Farmiga, The Nun, and Conjuring 2, who lost their son in the first Godzilla movie, then divorced. Emma is now raising their remaining child, Madison, the clearly talented Millie Bobby Brown, who is the amazing 11 from Stranger Things, to follow in her tunnel vision footsteps, putting her research of the Titans above everything else, and I mean everything else. Rounding out the cast is the great Ken Watanabe from Inception, The Last Samurai, previous Godzilla, and Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Also, Charles Dance, the staple in film and television for 45 years now, bringing a wicked class and style to everything from Game of Thrones to Shakespeare and a villain in the James Bond franchise. Also, Sally Hawkins in both the offensively awful Shape of Water and the extremely delightful Paddington movies. And Joe Morton, whose career dates all the way back to 1951, including, for those of us who might remember, the innovative cult sci-fi Brother from Another Planet, and the classic Terminator 2 Judgment Day. The rest of the runtime is spent watching CGI monsters destroy each other in admittedly spectacular fashion, although a lot of cheating is done in the details by holding all the fights at night, underwater, or in a Cat 6 hurricane manufactured by one of the bad guy Titans. And I say that with qualifiers because living in South Louisiana, to my knowledge, there's nothing but Cat 5, and those are bad enough. It occurred to me as I perused a YouTube, which did a quick survey of all the Godzilla movies, that the phenomenon of Godzilla has much in common with the Lego movies. Aside from the 1998 Matthew Broderick contribution, which envisioned Godzilla as a more realistic mountain-sized Komodo dragon, Godzilla reminds me of an action figure. Despite all the CGI available, the director Michael Dougherty from Superman Returns and a couple of X-Men movies chose to stick with the stilted, squat, awkwardly moving Godzilla instead of the 1998 quick and sinuous monster which chased Matthew Broderick through New York City. Similarly to the Lego movie, which sees the world from the point of view of the toys, Godzilla strikes me as inspired by the imaginations of every child who had a monster toy with which they liked to terrorize their surroundings. The traditional Godzilla moves like an action figure with an inverted triangle body, whippy tail with which to bludgeon objects, and tiny useless arms clumping from side to side as it stomps forward, crushing everything underfoot in its path, except the important actors. The end credits even camp it up, featuring a cover by Bear McCree of the 1977 Blue Oyster Cult novelty song Godzilla. This is a pulp funny book brought to full Technicolor life with all of the shallowness of plot, disjointed explanations, magic-style quote-unquote science, inconsistent character motivations, and single-note personalities of a comic book and its denizens. Even so, this is not meant as a criticism or failure of the movie. I suspect this is what the filmmakers were after, and it succeeds as such admirably, throwing in a little wry humor dialogue now and again just to keep things real. As a matter of fact, there is one special reason why I personally like this movie. In a delightfully refreshing turn of events, a truth is demonstrated. The monsters have been deliberately set forth to destroy mankind by a recognizably legitimate force for evil, one which wreaks havoc on us all in the real world on a daily basis. The environmental wacko. The bad guys here boldly state that humans are a virus on the earth which must be scoured off in their way of thinking to allow the world to return to its natural state. But of course, in true and honestly portrayed narcissistic, liberal, hypocritical fashion, the villain, after murdering tens of thousands of men, women, and children with these behemoths, she willingly puts all her plans on hold when it is her child at risk. No one else's child is important, though, only hers and hers alone. Her insane scheme to find and release the Titans upon the Earth is understood by the rest of the characters in the movie as ridiculous, evil, short-sighted, cruel, and ultimately flat-out wrong. This, of course, can sum up the entire mentality of the extreme environmentalist movement, which wants to put animals above people, prefers human suffering for others who are not members of their extreme club, to widespread use of modern inventions, ignores common sense science, like the fact that carbon dioxide is good for the environment, as plants love it, proposes hoaxes which further their agenda with no verifiable evidence, like human-caused climate change, but continue to jet around the world, using up fossil fuels at a rate the rest of us can only dream about. It's nice to see the blame placed at the feet of those to which it really belongs for a change. Godzilla also leans heavily on paganism, reverencing and even calling to some worship of the monsters. That being said, there is also some comparisons of Godzilla to Christian motifs, that he died trying to save us, descends to the depths of the earth, and was reborn to arise and defeat an evil monster. Well, two if you count the environmental wacko. While this has been done appropriately and respectfully in stories like Narnia, not that Godzilla even belongs in the same solar system with Aslan, it is a fair point to say not all of Godzilla is pagan, but that there are at least some superficial nods to a Christ-like theology, though it is obvious that the writers neither understood it nor fully embrace it. So, if you are familiar with and are a fan of the mythos of Godzilla, then you will not be disappointed in Godzilla, King of the Monsters. But while you should be advised of the heavily pagan-flavored worldview, it will at least provide a breath of politically incorrect but common-sense accurate fresh air. And remember, if you're listening in your car or on an iPhone, you can get the full original review, including pictures and links, at www.homeschoolmommoviemaven, that's Maven with an I, MAVIN.com. And take it from a homeschool mom, education doesn't always have to come from a book. Sometimes it can come from digging a sensible nugget out of a silly comic book-based movie.